This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Collect the build.
Khotatsongako from Machangura in South Africa. Nice to be here.
Johannesburg is the largest city in South Africa. It's also home to the world's largest man-made forest with 10 million trees, which helps the city cope with greenhouse effects and also lowers the noise levels within the city. Do you know that the Hillbrill Tower, with its 270 meters, is the largest building in all of Africa?
Nope.
If I didn't have obligations, I would still be in El Salvador right now.
Yes.
Africa will lead Bitcoin's adoption to the next phase.
Yes.
Tumi and the Volume is an African hip-hop music ensemble that includes rapper Tumi Molekan, lead guitarist Thiago Correa Pau, bass guitarist David Bergman, and drummer Paulo Chibanga. The act is often associated with the Mozambican band 250 Million because it shares some of its core members. Do you know Thiago Correa Paulo studied economics in Johannesburg?
No.
I prefer sending Bitcoin using phone numbers over using LNURL QR codes.
Yes.
Will Morocco be the first African team in the finals of a World Cup?
Yes.
Be a catalyst instead of a co-founder.
Yes.
Are you aware that number 8,333 is present in the holy books of most religions?
No.
Telecom communications are more stable than internet communications.
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yes.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 57 of Connect the World.
Jingle bells.
You're looking great, man.
Yeah, man. You too.
I didn't have a real Christmas hat.
You look like about the plop. I don't know. Only the Dutch-speaking people. but not that far. You're way more... you're nice looking, man. Come on.
It's from my daughter and, I have a nice set of ball. Christmas balls.
Oh, man. Keep that a secret, man. Hey, did you... How was your Christmas, Edward? Did you eat a lot?
Oh, man. You know the drill. 3 days long. Food.
Cheese fondue, gourmet, barbecue.
People.
What
gourmet.
Did you do?
Yeah, gourmet. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you had enough?
I don't eat exaggerating amount of food. But no, I eat all day long. So in the end,
really?
I eat perhaps... No, it's you always eat more at Christmas. Keep it at that. Yeah.
I thought like you were more of a conservative guy and had a turkey on table or something, but...
No. Well, sometimes we do, but with children, sometimes we arrange a midday brunch or something that's easier than the evening meal where the children must go to bed and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, nice. Good to see that you're still alive after the
that's
food,
important.
Right?
And did you get some presents or...
Yeah. Actually, I had... I've got some floor moth. I don't know if that's the nice translation, but for my car, because I'm going to a ski vacation, and then it's better to have rubber floor moth. So
That's right. Because
so
of
that
the
I,
snow.
I got, and what did I also got? Some small things. And a new T-shirt and a new shorts for in the gym.
Awesome.
So and a hell lot of food. I prepared because I really like to cook, but now with my two boys, obviously I don't have that much time to cook anymore. So it's now it's a bit of a hassle and getting food on the table fast. But we had a nice vacation this week. So my wife and I, awesome. We had 2 days off. So my children were at my mother's place. And
That's great.
I prepared some risotto. Yeah. I really like to cook. So I prepared different risottos. So I made some risottos for the family.
If you make it good, risotto is the best.
Yeah, with indeed. Pumpkin yeah. and with, what was the
oh,
name?
Nice.
Cheese. Taleggio. Do you know Taleggio cheese?
No. No, so, French cheese is it or
no? It's Italian.
Okay,
so it's a taleggio. This is really one of the best risottos I had, and I had this one in Italy, obviously.
Yeah,
and then I came back home, and I thought, well, it seems that it's not a very difficult risotto, right? So you have just the basis risotto, and then they added a taleggio cheese and thyme. These are the only two ingredients, Edward. Really, but less
nothing
is more.
More. Okay.
No, less is more, right?
For me, that's great because I've sometimes if I eat something that is spicy or something, it doesn't go well.
It was rosemary.
Sounds right.
It was rosemary, I think.
Even better. Rosemary is also nice.
No, it was thyme because it was soft. So because rosemary is a very hard needle, so it was thyme. But so you only add the taleggio cheese and you add the thyme and then it's that's it, man. So but you have to create a nice juicy risotto, of course. But you can.
So you're gonna invite me to taste it.
Well, I just gave you the recipe, right?
So yeah, that's right. Because that's the only thing. Okay, no.
But thanks. It was really good. And I made one with pumpkin. So
awesome.
Yeah, man. So so really it's the end of the year, man.
Yeah, and crazy. We have some, it was a great year, of course, and a lot of things happened. And we have some information that we're going to share this episode.
But first, because this is a very, very important message to all the listeners and viewers, and especially the ones who are having an NFC card from us.
We also
talked to it last week, but please, guys, as of 12th of January, we are not... hosting the service behind the card anymore because
indeed.
we are legally not able to do that. So please get your funds off of the card and you can reset the card and you can just put your own service behind it.
That's a great way to be able to keep using the card and the chip on it.
You can still use it, but you have to host it yourself. And if you have questions about it, you can drop us a message in the Connect the World Telegram group. So it is Connect the World. And you can join that Telegram group. Obviously, you all have to do it.
My head, man.
And then we can help you out with installing it on your own server. So, as of the 12th of January, guys, please.
Yeah, indeed. Very important. And thanks to SetSpec and to TunnelSets for helping us out get it started and the whole team of the Daily Moon and Connect the World.
Yeah.
And Sleepyhead for making the script.
We can name everyone who helped, right? And Armand and everyone else.
Everyone who is not named, thank you.
Everyone.
And then Connect the World next year. Steph, how will it be next year? Because we're doing this in our own time.
Yeah,
it costs a lot of time.
Yeah,
so of course we're busy thinking how can we do it more efficient or better for our listeners. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we are going to quit. No. No. We are going to make it more compact, I think is the right word.
Yeah, indeed.
So now the podcast the duration, the length of the podcast isn't that long or something, but we have all those different parts. And I can imagine that if you are listening to our podcast that sometimes you can obviously listen it in one, but because of the different parts, it can be maybe annoying. I don't know if annoying is the correct way of putting it, but I think when we make the show more compact, we can give our listeners and viewers more value. And also for us personally, I mean, especially you, Edward, you're and Ramon and Laptopmon, of course, but the whole team behind it, we are a team of four, and we are, well, you can say we are still all voluntary. It takes a hell lot of time, and especially when preparing the news and the statistics and all that kind of stuff. Well, it takes a hell of a lot of time. So when we make the show more compact, this also means for us that we can put a more effort in the part which we invite the guests, because that's the part which will be untouched almost. Yeah. But the news the part and part. And the statistics part will be skipped as of next year. So I think the duration of the show will be slightly the same. Sometimes it will be a little more, sometimes it will be a little less, but we are keeping it around the 30 to 40 minutes or something.
Yeah, that's also nice, because if it's too long, then you have to skip parts, or it just feels too long to listen to. Yep. And if somebody else has any comments or tips for us, then please share it in our Telegram group. Sure. That always helps. So that's that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is will be I think it's it will be something different. So in that way, it will be also for us. It's new. We will see. We will have to fit to the new format also, Edward.
Indeed. Yeah, that's right. So, we have to be accustomed to it.
Yeah. Hey, who do we welcome today, Edward?
Yeah, this week I'm gonna pronounce it good. I hope.
That's why I ask you.
We welcome Gohatso Nako, and he is a software developer and born and raised in Pretoria, South Africa. And he is the founder of Machankura and working on projects that make Bitcoin more accessible in his community. And that's very important, of course.
Besides the Bitcoin Ekasi project, which we all also had on the show this year with Herman Vivier, Machankura is also a really nice project, and the two work together also a lot. So really happy to have Gotatso on the show.
Yeah.
Yes. And so then, we have something special for this for this final episode of 2022. Instead of the statistics on the Lightning Network and the Rings of Fire community, we wanted to talk about our top 10 episodes and guests of last year.
They're all great, right? For us, they're all great, but we thought, well, these 10,
they stood out.
Were so busy, they stood out, and it's fun to talk about them.
So let me, we're not going to talk about all of them, then we have to talk about 10 different peoples and projects, but let me just highlight some things. Well, yeah. Alex Bosworth on the 10th place, what else do I need to say? Head of Lightning Liquidity at Lightning Labs, and Lightning Labs develops software that powers Lightning Networks. Obviously, they implemented Taro this year, and the guys are doing a great job in creating a very, very reliable software for the Lightning node operators, which we all use.
Also, the things that happened with L&D, they really... Roast Beef and El Mouton were very busy on it to fix it right away. So I say
a very reliable software. And
it is reliable.
It is reliable. They had two major bugs, but they also solved it right away. So,
and that's the most important thing.
They managed to be reliable, right?
And so, we all know it's very experimental, of course, but it's also great that this team really works, and that there is communication with all the users. And that goes very fast also in their Slack. I've been to their meetings a couple of times, and it's nice to see also the interest of node runners that are have big routing nodes. They listen to them to trying to make L&D better every time. So that's great.
And who's then, on the ninth plates?
And Nitesh, did you mention him?
Oh, yeah, also. The guys work together working on Balance of Satoshis, right? So
He made the front end. That was great.
We have both on the show, by the way.
That's right. Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, and then the ninth place. You were saying it's a woman, right?
Yeah, it's a woman.
Yeah.
It has to be a woman.
It's Olga Yukolova and the team for implementing RGB.
Yeah.
Because they released the beta version, I guess. Yeah. And they're building as of now, they're building a frequently asked questions and a whole tutorial part for people to get their information and to try to use it.
Perfect. And on the eighth place, it's Rene Picard.
Could be higher.
Also. But this goes for everyone in the list, right?
It's not absolutely.
It's just top 10 because is a top 10, but. I mean, Alex Borsworth can also be at the first place in my opinion. But Rene Picard, data scientist, and what I like the most of Rene is that he says, "Well, I'm a real researcher, and I don't have the answer on everything, but I can ask questions about everything, and then people can think about the problems we face." And I don't know. I really like his point of view. And his way of working in the space, and I think we really need people like Rene to just keep evolving, and so really happy to have him also within the list.
Indeed. And then on the seventh place, we have two persons. We had Mick Marucci in the show in Quick Talk, and Stelios Ramos. We had them both.
We had them both in Amsterdam,
of Geyser in Amsterdam. Yeah. On the Lightning Couch, and they're from Geyser. It's a Lightning native Bitcoin crowdfunding platform with a mission to help Bitcoin creators and creatives to transform their ideas to reality. And they were very busy this year. They did a lot of conferences also. And they talk about interoperability, how they've done it, of course. And then the Geyser grants.
That was also great. I just wanted to say that they provide a way of getting liquidity for your project, and I think in this very experimental space it's very needed. So
it's more than just a crowdfunding for plebs. It's also a collaboration with all those businesses that are already out there trying to learn, educate, and better your project. And I think that's and it can be development, but it can also be something else.
Yep.
So yeah, great.
perfect to have the guys on the list. And the sixth place is for Patrick, the first Patrick within his list. Little hint.
Indeed.
And the sixth place for Patrick Belder, and he's the founder of Bitcoin Lago in Guatemala, and he's creating a circular Bitcoin community over there. But to be honest, we could also have Pouch on the list or Bitcoin Agassi again. I mean, you know, all those projects, really nice projects. The guys from Bitcoin Beach, I think the guys are doing all similar.
Bitcoin Islands.
Bitcoin Island, yeah. So
so many
projects like that. But I think it's especially in places like Guatemala, it can be a real deal.
And it's. It kept with me the thing that he was saying, because they're transforming the organic waste into energy and then giving it back to the people in money and in a positive consequence for the whole community. So not only clean up, but also give something of wealth back to the people that are living there. And I think that's a great use case. Yeah. And then the fifth place, we mentioned him last episode. Yeah. Well, he's saying always, "I'm just a humble programmer," but he's in fact a real lightning guru.
He's way more than that, man. Come on.
Of course. Builder of LTX.
So.
Living in Brazil with a lot of noise in the episode, but it was great to feel where he's coming from and what he's doing is amazing, because he's doing
also with Nosta. I mean,
that's what I wanted to mention. That's amazing. We're going to see a lot of Nosta, I think, the upcoming year. So curious about that.
Yep. And the fourth place goes to Rusty Russell from Core Lightning, also building on a very nice, smooth, and reliable Lightning implementation.
So, and we spoke with him from Australia in the morning.
It was 5:30 in the morning or something, and he was hyped as hell, and we were like, "Whoa, it's it was like what was it at our site?" I mean, it was
evening,
right?
Yeah.
So we got tired, but he gave us some nice energy. So so really
great
happy
talking to him.
To talk to him. Yes.
Yeah. Ah, this is your favorite. One of my favorites. The third place.
Herman Vivier and the Bitcoin Legacy Project. The guys, they get a lot of traction this evening.
Yeah.
This last, I think it was the last half of the year, especially.
Yeah, that's right.
Where they, for Herman in particular, he also visited some nice conference.
Yeah, yeah,
a lot
spoke.
Of other projects, also from our sponsor, by the way, Bitonic or BL3P, but Bitonic. They also visited the Bitcoin Akashi project. They donated some nice wetsuits to the kids. And I mean, yeah, it's nice, you know, to see it develop and to see Herman Vivier being such a nice guy, doing great stuff in his township. And
inspiration, yeah. I think it's
very big inspiration. And we talk about this a lot. I'm not a real technical guy. You're the more technical guy of the two of us. But I also, my heart is with this kind of project, you know, and seeing Bitcoin really used in the hands of, in this case, young persons who are, at the beginning of their careers, maybe, or just trying to build a better better life for themselves, and then using Bitcoin not using Bitcoin to create a better life, but because they don't have another option, basically. So,
And they do more than only those kind of things, because with the Surfer Kids program, that's great. They empower the poorest and most impoverished community imaginable. Yeah. I think that is amazing. Doing both things, helping adoption further and also helping the community is a real example.
And the second place goes to
Patrick van der Meijden from Bitkassa. He's a Dutchie. It's a payment service provider for merchants, if you didn't see the episode, for accepting Lightning and Bitcoin. And at Bitcoin Amsterdam and all our meetups, it just works amazing.
And he was one of the founders of the Arnhem Bitcoin City, right? So before Bitcoin Beach and El Zonte existed, he already orange pilled a ton of merchants, restaurants, bars to use Bitcoin as payment.
And the latest thing was the implementation of the NFC possibility within their... So that was also great that we could accept it there. At our meetups and pay with our NFC card.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then the last one.
The first place. Well, I mean, he's becoming a real friend of us. Yeah.
Yeah, Ben Ark.
I mean, with Alan Bits, creating such a big suite it's kind of a suite, right? But you can use all kinds of services building on Bitcoin. From a jukeboxes to a point of sale, grab machine. You can name it, and you can create it using Alan Bits. So
It makes it playable, right? To experiment and make it interesting to find use cases, to trigger you to find use cases, because Alan Bits has so many plugins. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
And he also, Alan Bits has, a web shop where you can find all those solutions. It's just fun because they're do-it-yourself kits and you can make it yourself.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if so you have time, surf there and buy something. And he's real, he's collaborating with a lot of people always. In the Alan Bits community, there are a lot of developers.
Yeah,
with Pietjev, also
but
with
also
Noster.
On all those, what I like most about Ben is that he is also a very humble guy, right? So when
That's right.
we were on the conference, he's also very happy and energetic and loves to help people. And And he was on the garderobe. Is it the correct English name?
At some hallway with the lockers in the locker room there.
In the locker room, and then he just set up a table, and then he put all this stuff, and then people
that's
could
the only
make
thing
things
he needs.
About it. So, I really like the way he is teaching us how to build upon Bitcoin and especially the Lightning Network. So. Yeah. I think we are going to see Alan Bits become a very, well, it is already one of the biggest Lightning projects out there, but they will be used a lot in the near future, I think. So, okay, that was our
that was
10,
it.
Edward.
Our 10, and of course,
please be careful
are...
with all the fireworks, Edward. I know you are a big firework believer, so firework user, so please be careful.
I will take care of that. Yeah. I hope that we see each other again then next year. And also one last time, also thanks to all other guests. We have Nifty, Carsten Otto, Elmuton. A lot more. So all
Small
those
world.
We didn't mention, thanks.
Sure.
Thanks. From the bottom of our heart to helping adoption further. Tell the story of everything that is interesting to for everyone interested in Lightning.
Yeah. So, and of course, thanks to BLPP, our first and only sponsor as of now. So thanks for keeping the faith in us and supporting us in, keep doing this show. And really happy that you guys... believed in us.
And let's continue next year.
And setsback.com also for
of course
for making it possible to create those awesome collectible NFC cards. And thanks to the team, thanks to you, Edward, for this year.
Indeed, thanks. And
Ramon
to Leptoman
behind. Yes.
Always doing their utmost. And
on the far background, we also have Stein, Bart,
of course.
And Jury, of course, with his ring tools, work on ring tools. So thanks, guys, and let's see each other next year.
Next year, and let's head over to the Lightning Notes then
one more time,
I guess. All right,
for the very last time.
Bye, bye, Steph.
Bye.
Conectează lumea.
Make sure to secure your home network. So change default passwords and use two-factor authentication where possible, and keep your software up to date. It's also very important. Please keep in mind that the whole Lightning network is very experimental. Software like Mynode, Umbrel, Raspberry Blitz, for example, and many others, and LND also, are still in beta phase. Don't blindly run terminal commands on your node if you don't understand them yourself, and especially when prefixed with sudo. And the last one is also very important. Don't use Satoshis that you're not willing to lose. So if you're not aware of all security considerations, then read into it. Educate yourself, read articles, ask for help in Telegram groups with high reputation like ours, and listen to podcasts and learn by doing. Otherwise, don't participate.
Also, you can stay informed by following us on Twitter. You can find us at Satoshi Radio ROF. And follow our Lightning leader, Johnny Kiyashu. Join our Telegram groups, Satoshi Radio, Ring of Fire, and Connect the World. And check our website, satoshi.radio. It would be nice for you to be part of our Emboss community. You can find us there on Satoshi Radio. And like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Use Podcasting 2.0 to listen to Connect the World. And you can check SAT the trading for the current value. You can find all this information, of course, also in the show notes as well.
All right, let's get on to the show.
Conectează lumea.
Gotatsu, Satoshi Nakamoto, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you're Satoshi. Good to meet you and have you on the show.
Yeah,
man.
Happy to be here, you know. I had to get out of hiding, so this is a very interesting place to be.
Oh, nice. And you also were at in El Salvador checking out the conference over there. And I saw that you said
Bitcoin.
Yeah, adopting Bitcoin for sure. But I saw that you said that you were afraid to arrive there because you didn't. You were afraid that you wouldn't be able to, or you wouldn't leave the country, right? Because it's so amazing.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's one of the places where I was like, oh, as a Bitcoiner, you have to be, because he get to be around so many other Bitcoiners as well. And yeah, it was just as it's written on the label. As soon as I landed there, first day, I was like, wow, all these great Bitcoiners are here. And the conversation started rolling.
Perfect. And what was the thing that you liked the most over there?
Well, the beach is fun, like Alzante is fun. The food isn't that bad. Their breakfast sucks. Sorry to say this, El Salvador, but you have lame breakfast, right? But the rest of the food isn't that bad. Sadly, I couldn't get to eat a pupusa because, yeah, there was just that wild of an experience for me. And every time I was supposed to eat in a pupusa, something else would come up. And the only time I could have eaten a pupusa was during a pupusa eating contest. And the lady making the pupusas didn't want to give me one because they were for the contest. And I wasn't about to enter a pupusa eating contest to have my first pupusa. So
And that's, you need to eat the more possible, right?
Yes. And I would have hated pupusas at this point if I entered that competition.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, and obviously we saw that you liked music a lot, especially hip hop music. Are there some things that that hip hop music inspires you while doing your job at Machankura?
Yeah, so the thing that I like most about hip hop and, well, the relationship it kind of shares with Bitcoin is nobody knows how big it will be, you know. If you go ask or go interview the people who were doing hip hop 50 years ago and ask them if they ever thought hip hop would be the biggest genre in the world, they'd say no, right? And also, how big it became in such a short space of time is also something where you're like, wow, we have South Korean musicians rapping, you know. It's hard to get a pop album without a rap verse these days. And yeah, so that's where I see Bitcoin going. That's the trajectory I see Bitcoin going. We cannot tell how big Bitcoin is going to become 50 years from now. However big it would be 50 years from now, nobody can see it coming. In a similar fashion that 3 years ago, nobody could see a country using Bitcoin as legal tender. Even when it already happened, people are still like, wait, did that actually happen? And there's like two countries already that have Bitcoin as legal tender.
Perfect. And you have a great relationship with Herman Vivier from Bitcoin Ekasi. I think I saw you guys traveling together to the conference in El Salvador, right?
Yeah, no.
Herman, you guys working together also in Africa?
Yes. Herman is actually my brother from another mother. and yeah, I met him earlier this year. Me and him have been kind of collaborating on Bitcoin initiatives. He has Bitcoin Ekasi, a good community initiative called, built on top of the Surfer Kids, which has been operating for over 10 years. And I got to visit them, I think, once every 3 months this year.
Perfect.
So I hope to repeat that next year. Yeah. And yeah, just by being there, you could see, okay, these guys are really about it. And I know from past experiences that what they are doing is really not easy. You know, what they are doing is way harder than running a Bitcoin node during load shedding, you know, and yeah, so I have a lot of respect for him and his team. And yeah, every time, you know, I travel for a Bitcoin conference.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that they even run their own node, and they participated in a Satoshi Radio. We are from the Satoshi Radio community also, Satoshi Radio Ring of Fire. So and Lutondo was managing that node. So that was this. And it, I mean, this is even a bit more complicated than only running a node. So,
exactly.
So the guys are really doing a great job over there.
Yeah, it was great because someone from our sponsor went there and filmed him, and he showed his nodes and that's just what Lightning is, right? Some building with a note there. That's really great. Yeah, to have those guys in our Rings of Fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I was wondering because in the 10 questions, we had a question: be a catalyst instead of
most
a co-founder,
definitely.
And we found that on your blog. And you said yes, be a catalyst. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so I expanded on the question a little more because I've always knew that I wanted to be in the startup space, but the question of being a co-founder to me, like what even is a co-founder, and being a catalyst seems as a more definable thing, you know, like accelerate the reaction to the desired state also without burning yourself out. So, you know, in the space, you also get a lot of co-founders burn themselves out to keep their companies operational, not even successful, and then they are not able to do the next thing. So from a catalyst perspective, do what you need to do to accelerate whatever you're accelerating to the desired state, but don't burn yourself out so that, you know, you could accelerate the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And also know when, you know, your job in the reaction is done, right? And so step away if the need arises for you to step away.
But then all the nice projects talking about Bitcoin Ekasi, but also Machankura and Bitcoin Beach, but also a pouch from the Philippines. They're all led by Catalyst, I assume then, because those guys, if I have to define Catalyst, that will be that are the things that I use to explain it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. And
I also think that being a catalyst is also for Bitcoin and Lightning, if we're talking about that now. At a whole perspective of it. So having the whole community around it, the whole ecosystem to drive it, that's important for you as a co-founder or a founder, because otherwise there isn't anything to co-found, of course.
Exactly. And the other thing, to your point of Bitcoin and Lightning being a catalyst, I can do weird things like run the service on a Raspberry Pi, right? Because this community, this Bitcoin community, is working very hard to make sure that you could run a Lightning node on any infrastructure. Yes, I'm going to move the nodes to better hardware, but ultimately this community has done the things that allow you to do crazy things like that and also be confident that you'll be able to scale the service if need be and when the need arises. So I never have to worry about certain things because the community has already figured the stuff out.
Great
to have you on the show, and we really want to ask you a lot of questions about your vision on the Lightning Network and Lightning in Africa, but also about Machankura, of course, but it has to be in the 21 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I would like to ask you if you are ready for the 21 minutes so we can enter that part.
I'm ready.
Perfect.
All right, let's do it.
Connect the word.
Okay, let's start with the first questions about Machankura. In August 2022, you started Machankura. It's named after the South African slang for money. And the service you started gives people the opportunity to make transactions over the Lightning Network via SMS, text messages. So everybody can use an ordinary cell phone and a mobile number to get started. Why did you start this service in the first place?
Oh, yeah. It was actually started in May. And I started the service because I set up a Raspberry Pi. And I was like, what can I do on this Pi? And after setting up an RPC server on the Pi, I was then like, it would be cool if one could set up a USSD service. And then I took a deep dive on how such a service would work. And Machankura was born, and I gave it the name, got the domains, 833.mobi. And now we're here.
Yeah, and the logo of Machankura is... There's a cell phone. It's like a Bitcoin, but it's slightly tilted. But then, and also the a cell phone image kind of merged into it, right?
Yes, right. So, fun fact, I made that logo myself, and basically it's the old telephone logo inside the Bitcoin B outline, right? But if you also look at the logo, the Bitcoin B outline kind of looks like an old telephone booth that Superman would step in and, you know, exchange into Superman, or Clark Kent would step in and change into Superman using. And making that logo also, you know, kind of put me in the state of mind that, oh, if we are building tech for South Africa, although we don't, man, for Africa as a whole, although we don't have good internet infrastructure, we can still leverage the GSM infrastructure or the old infrastructure, as long as, you know, we put ourselves in the right state of mind to do that. And yeah, that's what this is.
Perfect. And can you describe exactly how the process works if somebody wants to use it? So what's the onboarding process like?
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to use it, all they need to know is the number to dial in their specific country. So the thing that they are dialing is effectively *833#. That's the most ideal number. Obviously, I can't get that number because regulations, so I get random numbers most of the time. But then once they dial that number, what happens is that my service gets called by the telecom. So the telecom acts almost like a DNS server. So the telecom looks at the number that the user dialed and says, oh, this number belongs to Machangura, and let me show these people the text-based interface of what they are seeing. And yeah, they basically do a prompt response thing.
So they have to communicate with it with a text, right?
Yeah. So it's a live session, text-based prompt and response interface. So they get to see "Welcome to Machangura" and get to see the options that they can then input. You know, option one, create an account. Option two, learn more. Option three, exit. So if a person decides to learn more, we show them a quick introduction of what is Bitcoin and what is Machangura.
Yeah, and on Ambos, Machangura shows two public nodes. How do you maintain the channels of these nodes?
Yeah, well, I have a primary node and a backup node. The backup node, I'm doing a very poor job of it. So it has like one channel, and the reason for that is the hardware I got for that backup node is worse than a Raspberry Pi. So I just decided to not use it yet. And and then on the primary node, what I usually do is just look at if I have enough inbound and outbound liquidity. And recently I started using CLBOSS to automate that process. And yeah, I think the quality of the Lightning liquidity in inbound, outbound has been way better because of my usage of CLBOSS, so I'm going to keep doing that. One other thing I need to do is swaps. So I'm not sure if I want to automate that as of yet, but I might be automating that in the future.
Perfect. And do you think the need for this service by using text messaging is potentially interesting for all countries in Africa? I saw you already added some countries to the countries that you provide the service to. And also perhaps in countries without reliable internet access around the world.
Yeah, so generally I think a lot of developing markets already use USSD or GSM infrastructure because they don't yet have internet infrastructure widely deployed. And yeah, so that's what I prefer.
Of course, yeah. I was immediately also thinking about Central African Republic because they adopted Bitcoin as a legal tender not so long ago. Mm-hmm. And it's also a country without reliable internet connection. Mm-hmm. Are you also busy with making Machangura available there?
Yes, right. That is something I've been working on for a few months now, both the Central African Republic and Zimbabwe. But with regards to the Central African Republic, there's a whole lot more challenges because the internet penetration level was like at what, 14%? And yeah, that is a more immediate problem than them getting to use Bitcoin, because also it's hard for me to find people to work with in the country if, you know, there's no, what's the word I'm looking for? There's no electricity for most of the service providers to piggyback on, right? Yeah, so hopefully in the near future, I get to, you know, deploy the service, but I will still need a service provider to work with, or a relationship with the telecoms to work with them.
Yeah. And in November, there was a problem with the USSD gateway service provider due to regulations. And this is obviously a real threat to Machankura. But what is the status of this at the moment?
Yeah, so technically, there is no regulations banning the existence of Machankura as a project. What was happening was that the service provider was getting cold feet because, you know, it's not illegal, but, you know, there's this dark shadow over Bitcoin in the world that associating with Bitcoin companies kind of, you know, paint you in a bad light as well. So the service provider was trying to disassociate, but due to, you know, how warm the Bitcoin community is and a lot of conversations, the service provider is more than happy to stick around, and I've been engaging with them over the past few weeks. And the main thing for them was that ultimately I'm not a fiat on-ramp and off-ramp, so all the existing regulations that have been drafted and have been deployed do not apply to me, because I'm a Bitcoin only service. People just send and receive Bitcoin. And if I ever do any fiat on-ramp and off-ramp, that's when I'm inviting all those regulations to my side of the court. And yeah, I don't feel like doing that anytime soon.
Okay. So yeah, because I was thinking about the long-term solutions, but there's no problem in the long-term for Machankura then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, it's almost the same as you accessing a Bitcoin wallet on the internet.
Indeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've read that users have no problem when they use the web interface, but how does it exactly work?
Yeah, so the web interface is effectively like a different interface into the service. Right. And yeah, because ultimately there's this other article I'm trying to publish. Sadly, been sidetracked. It's called "The Medium is Not the Message," you know. So what I'm doing is keeping track of where sets come from and sending sets where they should go, right, on behalf of my users. So I can then effectively have a web app, an Android app, iOS app, USSD interface, all these different ways to interact with the service, and a person will be able to send and receive sets to their account on these multiple services because it's the same backend. And yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah. Yeah. And how many people work for Machankura at the moment, and how do you find skilled developers to help you out?
Well, I'm technically the only developer working on it, right? who has worked on it ever since it started.
Yeah. Okay.
And yeah, how did I find myself? I'm not quite sure. I went soul searching as a teenager. Hip hop.
You looked in the mirror then.
There I was. And yeah. So, yeah. And what else happened? Oh, yeah. But there's a lot of people involved in the project because, you know, I don't think we have this much user adoption without the community being how it is, you know. So, yeah, I'd like to thank everyone who has retweeted, posted a video. Like, you guys saw the Bitcoin Negative videos. They really are doing wonderful and are supporting what I'm doing, right? And yeah, so it's not just them, so many other guys. I think in each country I try to work with at least two people. And Lynn and Guanta, I've worked with them in Kenya. And Uganda, I've worked with Jeff Mukize and Colin Rakunde. and Nigeria, I'm trying to work with Heritage and Mary. And yeah, so other countries, I haven't found people. Oh, but Malawi, I've worked with Nick. I forgot his surname. And yeah, I'm trying to find at least two people in different countries because I'm not in these countries. So it would help actually, you know, having people to interface with. And yeah.
Of course. Yeah. And you also participated with the Geyser Grants, if I yes. recollect it good, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Yeah. 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 With your project, it's a good thing to know a lot of people that are willing to help out, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And technically, what I did with the Geyser Grant was try to deploy the service in Senegal. As you all know, it's not live yet. Of this recording, the service is not live yet. Hopefully that changes soon. And yeah, once it goes live, I'll just put Geyser Grant in the tweeting. No. Due to the contributions via the Geyser Grant, the service is not live in Senegal.
And how many users do you have now? Can you share some numbers with us?
Yeah, we are almost at 2,000 users as of today.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to get to 1 million, guys. So tell your grandparents to dial *333#.
Always aim high.
Well, I think 1 million is even at a lower end of the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Can be even more.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you are working on a new project of a new payment integrations to do more than just only HODL. And what are you working on right now? And what are the goals for Machankura in 2023?
Okay, yeah. So I'm working on quite a lot of stuff. What am I working on? The more interesting thing is a way for people to self-custody Bitcoin on a SIM card with a GSM interface. And this is basically the thing. It's called a SIM card overlay. It's a Java card based thing. Well, your SIM card is Java card, so the chip can run some Java card code. And what we need is to have logic to allow a person to store Bitcoin private keys and sign Bitcoin transactions, and hopefully also get some Lightning functionality on this bad boy. You basically stick it on an existing SIM card and it's all systems go. The other thing is from a more an ideological perspective, for the service to keep operating, I think, for the service to succeed, I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done from an ideology standpoint. And yeah, I try to work more and more with people that I see already have that ideology, even if it's by accident. So, and we'll take it from there.
And then orange pill them.
Well, fun fact, you don't need to orange pill the person with the right ideology. You know, you just have to say, look at this. And the next thing you know, they like, that is what I was looking for my whole life.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. You just show it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and I was thinking with you also are active with Exonumia, and that's a project wherein you translate Bitcoin content into African languages. And do you think translating into native languages has to be a priority for more Bitcoiners and other countries if we want to reach finally mass adoption of Lightning?
No. I don't think that is a top priority. I think the top priority is the tools, is the wallets, is do people actually have the ability to send and receive via Lightning, via on-chain, whatever medium they choose. I think that is more important than the content or the education, right? But then the education is important with regards to are those people that are motivated enough to want to take a deep dive into the topic, then able to take a deep dive, right? Last week at the on a panel I was on for the African Bitcoin Conference, I said, you know, it's not a person who uses a hammer does not need to know the science of the hammer, the fulcrum, the how it amplifies the force and how it drives the nail into a wall, right? All they need to know is hold up the nail and bang, right? So it's great that we can give people education on how the science behind a hammer works, but the top priority is, can this person go to a hardware store and buy a hammer that works and fits their needs? And if the answer is no, for me, that is number one priority, you know, because yeah, then the things that the person could do with that hammer cannot be done. And yeah, so the things that we can do with Bitcoin or Lightning will not be done unless the tools are there. And that's why the Machangura project exists, but the Exonumia project exists, so that those that are motivated enough to want to learn more about Bitcoin, learn more about all these different aspects of Bitcoin, Lightning, and all this stuff, are able to find a pool of knowledge to go down in.
Perfect. So really drag them into the rabbit hole if they want.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Indeed.
And what do you think is needed to speed up Bitcoin adoption in South Africa? More projects like Bitcoin Ekasi, for example, or more education or development and solutions like Machangura, or yeah, maybe a higher price of Bitcoin. I mean, then it all brings the FOMO, of course. But what is really needed, do you think?
I don't know the answer to that question, right? I think South Africa is in a unique position whereby we already have all these different projects. And yeah, we can do so much more. And we've been in this position for many years because we've had like one of the first exchanges on the continent, which is Luno. And yeah, that's how I got introduced to Bitcoin. So
yeah,
it's a question of what went wrong with all the things that happened in the past and what could be done better. And for now, I don't know the answer.
Okay. Yeah. And if you think about a place where you live, are there any merchants there that accept Lightning or Bitcoin? Is it easy to, for example, buy your groceries
depends,
there?
Right. So I can literally boot up a feature phone. Well, I kind of have a feature phone. Let me just show it. It's just not on right now. So this is my feature phone. And on this bad boy, I can buy I can buy electricity.
Awesome.
Buy groceries, buy a fuel voucher, buy all these, buy coffee even from Starbucks with Bitcoin, right? And this has to do with the fact that we have had an ecosystem for many years. So it's easier for companies like Bitrefill to have integrations with all of these companies or all of these businesses, even though these businesses don't know they're accepting Bitcoin. You guys might have seen the video of all the Bitcoin Ekasi kids buying from Pick and Pay, which is one of the biggest retailers in the country, using Bitcoin. Pick and Pay doesn't know they're getting Bitcoin. Well, Pick and Pay is not getting Bitcoin. Pick and Pay is getting rands and Crypto Convert, which was actually started by the co-founder of Luno, one of the co-founders of Luno, takes the Bitcoin and then pays Pick and Pay in rand, right? So we have that type of ecosystem with regards to Bitcoin. It's just that the people receiving it do not know. The people on the other side do not know they're receiving Bitcoin.
And what would you like to see integrated on Lightning? Somebody who develops using the Lightning network, what is still missing in your opinion?
There's a rap lyric that says there's no inventive incentive, we just deliver now. Right? So I think the missing element is putting all of these tools in the hands of the people.
Yeah, that's also the most difficult thing, right?
Yes, like that's harder than actually all the engineering challenges we have.
and then we come in, right, Edward? We can help with educate and explain and interviewing interesting guests, right?
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing. Before we started recording, we talked about the FTX thing. And I thought, well, this is the time for education. All those people that that are having all those questions, I think now is the time to help out and to help people choose the right thing.
Yep.
So, yeah. Thanks again. We had a lot more questions, but of course we can't ask them all. So maybe another time would be great to have you on the show. So thanks.
Most definitely.
Connetti il mondo.
Yeah, we have one question left for you, Godazzo. Last week we had El Jaziru on the show, and he is the co-founder and CEO of Bolt Observer, and also the co-founder of Bitcoin Ljubljana meetup group from Slovenia. So we asked him to come up with a question for you. So Edward will play the audio file, and then you may answer it.
What role do you think the two custodial Lightning wallets will play in the mass adoption?
Cool. I think custodial wallets will play a very pivotal role because people are not conscious 90% of the time of what they're doing. Even people that are conscious of what they're doing either make it too hard for themselves. Like the example I want to give is ask people for a 5-digit PIN when they access Machankura, and that is what secures their balance on the service, right? And then they forget their 5-digit PIN, and then they have to reset. And I try to do it in a secure fashion, so like a time delay, and then even then they still forget their 5-digit PIN, right? So, and we all know in a world where they are self-custodying and they forget their keys, and you know, 5-digit PIN is like a step towards the keys. Maybe I'll make it a 12-digit PIN just to, you know, play on the 24 words, but yeah, then it will be much worse than the 5-digit PIN. So custodial wallets still give people the opportunity to still get access to their sats or to their balance, even if they forget their PIN, because they can always reset a PIN. And yeah, hopefully they graduate to using or to being able to remember what actually secures the Bitcoins that they have.
Well, thanks. And we also always ask our next guest a question from you this time. So what question can we ask our next guest?
Okay. What is the worst thing about Lightning?
Perfect.
We can't think about anything. No. Of course, he will or she will think of something. So thanks.
Conecta el mundo.
Yeah, thanks for being at the show, Godazzo.
Yeah, Godazzo.
Really
thanks.
Great talking to you. And yeah, where can people follow you if they want to follow you? So maybe you can share your Twitter or a website or.
Oh yeah. I invite everyone to follow me on Machankura at Machankura8333 on Twitter. And yeah, the website is 8333.mobi, so visit that. And yeah, I have my own personal Twitter thing, but I enjoy being able to post random stuff there. So do not follow that unless you want to unfollow me, because I really post the most
great
random
advice.
Things. And yeah, so follow the Machankura project. We have a Metamo set up on chat.machankura.com, and you can join me in conversation there. And we try to have like a Twitter space every Monday. Sadly, on Mondays that I'm too busy, I really don't get the time to host those spaces. And, you know, it's an open conversation. Like on today's conversation, we were literally talking about a change from spend BTC to barter BTC and why and how such a change is important. Yeah. And so if you want to hear or be in such conversations, feel free to join us on Twitter. We call it Machankura Mondays. And that's about it from my side.
Great. Thanks for that open invitation. So for all people that are listening who would like to join, the discussion, then you're free to enter. And well, thanks for listening, and thanks to all members participating in our Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us together. And if you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Mm-hmm. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sets flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Tot ziens.
Tot ziens.
Hola, hola. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Sure.